This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So men, women, boys, and girls all over America, please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to new book, Judges, right after Joshua in the Old Testament. Judges chapter 2, verse 1, where we left off last time. Judges chapter 2, verse 1. Now, we learned last week in the book of Judges that the name Judges in the Hebrew means Shaphat. That's how you say it. Want to speak Hebrew? Shaphat. Okay, so Shaphat, very good. And it means to set in order and then rule. See, some people rule and then later they try to set in order. You can't rule out of chaos. Before I could go any further, the Lord wanted to impress on my heart to tell you that God is very orderly. He has perfect order in his kingdom, in his angelic presences, seraphims. He has order in his church. Everybody has their place. No one's supposed to usurp the other. Everybody's got a place, just like our military. And any time in your life, in your work, in your social life, in your mind, in your church, in your social relationship friendships, where there's disorder, the devil is working on you. Because God is not the author of confusion or disorder. He is the author of order. And so we understand. Now we learn here that God appoints judges. And in this book, he's going to appoint 12 judges to rule over a period of 450 years. We learned that God appointed Moses to lead the children of Israel, through whom Messiah Jesus was to come. That was the lineage. Out of bondage in Egypt, out of slavery, into the promised land. And Moses got them right to the edge of the promised land, and God took Moses. He blessed him because the people had rebelled so against Moses' authority. Moses didn't even want to be the leader, but God chooses the people he knows he can trust, and it goes back to the world that then was when Lucifer rebelled. So God appointed him as a judge, and the people would not listen to Moses. They texted and they tweeted behind his back. Well, whatever they did then, okay. They gossiped and they rebelled. They even wanted to choose someone else. We'll just go to another church. We won't listen to you. And yet, in the 40 years that they roamed around the wilderness, God blessed them so. And Moses gave them the true word of God, the Ten Commandments, and much of the scripture. It has always been amazing to me that a Christian can sit under the pure word of God, and Moses gave them that after he got the Ten Commandments, and still be demonic, because God finally killed off that older generation. They were mean and they were demon. Here's why. The Holy Spirit showed me. The Bible says rebellion is the same sin as witchcraft. What does witchcraft do? Demons, evil spirits, right?
Right.
Okay, so when even though you sit under the word of God by a God-chosen judge, man or woman, it's anointed, it's right, if you rebel and do not obey that word, you have opened a door, and then it's like demons can come in. This explains it. I've seen this a million times leading people, and I always wondered why. So this lesson shows me rebellion is the same as witchcraft. So see, you could go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and every day in between, hear the pure word of God, but if you only halfway obeying or rebelling against God's appointed man or woman and resisting and selfish and sending darts there, demons can come and take over your territory, sweet little you. So beware. And that's what happened to them. Now, God said, I'm going to let the 20 years and younger from Egypt, I'm going to let them go into the promised land. So Moses had an understudy named Joshua, and so Joshua led them into the promised land. Now, the promised land had all kinds of heathen and all kinds of strange people in there. Geber, fallen angels mixed with human beings, not natural, giants, all of that. So God had told Moses in Deuteronomy 7 and told Joshua, when you go into the promised land, I want you to each one claim your allotment. There were 12 tribes, thousands of people in each tribe, but I want you to completely annihilate that group because they are the devil's children. There were the Canaanites, there were the Perizzites, there were the Hivites, the Hittites, the Kenites, and the Jebusites and the Philistines. And he said, clean them out. Do not marry with them. Tear down their groves. I do not want one altar in my land or one church in my land that is not devoted to Yahweh, the one true God. Last week we learned that only a few of the tribes obeyed and cleaned out their territory, but most of the tribes let the heathen stay. They compromised. They said, oh, you can stay, just pay us taxes. And so we left off last week with the heathen in there, half fallen angels, Geber, giants, Kenites, devil's children, enemies there. They got them a territory and called it the Rock, and that would be a place, the Petra, where they stayed there. And they were like a pricking briar in the side of the Israelites. See, you cannot dwell in the same habitation if you're God's child with a devil's child. Never the twain shall meet.
Judges chapter 2, verse 1. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgad to Boshen.
Okay, any time in the Bible it says the angel of the Lord, 95% of the time it's talking about God himself. God is a spirit. Remember that Moses is dead, and so he usually spoke through the God-appointed judge Moses. Oh, they wouldn't have listened. So now God is speaking to them directly.
Said, I made you to go out of Egypt, and it brought you into the land which I sweareth unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you.
Psalm 89, God says, I do not alter the thing that goes out of my lips. I do not break my covenant. I made a covenant with you. I set you free from Egypt, and I brought you into the promised land. God kept his part, but...
Verse 2, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land.
No league. Do not marry them. Do not make peace treaties. Do not negotiate with them. You think that if you're friendly to them and you give them money, because frankly, that's what finally happened. If you be friends with them, if you make a peace treaty, you think they're not going to hurt you. A snake is a snake is a snake.
Ye shall throw down their altars.
Tear down their worship places.
But ye have not obeyed my voice.
You didn't obey me.
Why have you done this? What is it that you have done? 3. Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before thee.
All right, you're going to be on your own now. I'm not going to help you anymore. You broke your covenant. See, God says, if you do the ifs, I will do this. The reason that you don't get your prayers answered is because you're not doing the ifs. See, it might be halfway. They halfway obeyed, but they rebelled against the rest of it. No answered prayer.
They shall be as thorns in your side.
Thorns in your side. This is found in Numbers chapter 33. God says, if you do not drive out the enemy out of your land, out of your house, out of your mind, out of your social life, out of your coming and going, he said, they will be like a pricking briar in your side. This is where the Apostle Paul got the expression. Apostle Paul knew the Hebrew scriptures. He knew the Torah. He knew Numbers 33. And it says, there will be a thorn in your side. Paul said, there's a thorn in my side. I prayed thrice. God does not remove it. And he said the thorn in his side was a messenger from Satan sent to buffet him. Messenger is angel. It doesn't mean a physical thing. It means always picking at you. Wherever Paul would go, Saul and then Paul, the angel was trying to level the playing field like he does for us. He's forever picking at us, trying because we're on the front line of battle. So it was a different reason that Paul suffered that. That was because he was the man of God. And these people, they had disobeyed. See, you cannot be unequally yoked. You'll never be able to serve God if you are.
And their gods shall be a snare unto you.
Because their God cannot deliver you. Their God's no God.
Amen.
4. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spoke these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim.
Bochim in the Hebrew means weeping. All right, they're sorry now. You know why they're sorry? Some of them are sorry because God's not going to drive the enemy out. Poor little me, not going to help me anymore, God. Some of them are sorry because they broke God's heart. If you have never cried and sobbed because you have sinned, you might not be saved. When you realize that you have sinned and broken the sacred heart of God, it'll break your heart.
Amen.
And they sacrificed there unto the Lord.
They asked forgiveness and sacrificed a sin offering. And of course he forgave them.
6. And when Joshua...
Now we go back just a little bit in time to get the story correct. We're going back when Joshua is still alive and brings them into the promised land. So now we go back to Joshua when he's alive, bringing them into the promised land. Joshua is a judge chosen by God.
And let the people go. The children of Israel went every man to their inheritance to possess the land.
Everybody had a plot.
7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua.
All right, so that first generation, the older ones were killed off because they rebelled. The younger ones, the 20 years old, went in with Joshua, and so they served the Lord because, see, they had seen the suffering, so they learned to worship God. When one generation suffers and has to lean on God, they will serve the Lord. But what's going to happen to the next one who's not suffered, who's been given everything on a silver platter?
We've seen all the great works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Verse 8, and Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old.
That was getting a little long for them to live now. Joshua and Caleb were much older than those. They were the same generation of Moses and the other people who died out. But the younger generation needed someone to lead them into the truth. So when you have a destiny and you are true to God and you're not disobedient, God will let you live as long as you need to fulfill the destiny. Hallelujah.
9. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Chen Mount Heres, in the mount of the hill country in Ephraim.
He was the tribe of Ephraim. He went into the land and he got his Ephraim plot there. That big name means the portion of the sun.
On the north side of the hill, Gaash, Ken, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers.
Okay, so that generation served the Lord, the first generation to go in the promised land. Remember when we first started America, we put up a cross in what later would become Virginia Beach, Virginia, and we said, we dedicate this United States of America to the glory of God and to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our first churches, our first schools were in a church, and it was to teach our children to read the Bible. The first generation, having suffered, wanting their freedom, will turn to God. But that generation died off.
And generation after them.
Another generation, technical difficulties after them.
Which knew not the Lord.
They had been given everything. The Overcomer's Song, Deuteronomy 32, Yeshurun waxed fat. In other words, I spoiled you rotten and now you don't need me anymore. You are never helping your children to give them everything, for heaven's sake. I'll tell you what, give them. Give them Jesus and give them the Bible. That's the best treasure. The word will last forever.
Amen.
Nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And served Balaam.
That's the Baal, short for Baal, the god of the Canaanites, which means the devil.
And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt.
The word forsook there means to abandon, to relinquish your faith in him, and to refuse him. To refuse God. Look at America.
and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them.
Oh, see, you usually don't bring those people you socialize with up. They bring you down because you're afraid to open your mouth because you don't want them, you want them to like you. It's better to be by yourself than to go down just to have people around you. Don't ever, young people, don't ever compromise to have friends. You stay with God. God wants a majority. Besides, he's fun. He's not boring. You're never lonely.
And bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger.
You know, when you get angry, there's usually two reasons. Number one, you are afraid. Number two, you are hurt. God was hurt. Look what he did for them. He brought them out all that way. And now they act like he doesn't even exist.
13, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth.
Now Baal, of course, is the god of the Canaanites. Ashtaroth is the male phallic symbol. Yes, one of the churches in Revelation that displeases Jesus, Thyatira, worships that. They would sew a pillar over this sculpture, the male phallic symbol, as they would take it into the temple. Now, you say, we don't do that. Are you kidding? America produces more pornography and sends it out to the world than any other nation there is. And look at Hollywood. And I'm reminded of Ezekiel 13 in the King James Bible. God says, I'm against those who sew pillars to hide my outstretched arms. You sow pillars. You teach people to fly to save their souls. So you see, there's an Antichrist coming. He's beautiful. He's a male figure. He's Lucifer. He's gorgeous. And he's coming and he's calling himself Messiah. And people who have lied and said that first one coming is Jesus, you have caused people to worship the male phallic symbol, Lucifer. So beautiful. Coming first. Male God. Little God, G, little G.
14, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel.
No wonder God's hot. He's a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29.
And he delivered them into the hand of spoilers that spoiled them.
Now we're going to find as we move into these judges, the poor Israelites would go and not harvest their crops, they would grow their crops and do all that hard work, and the people in the territory there would go and harvest it themselves, and so they would steal it. What America has done, they've raised our taxes and put so many restrictions on businesses that mostly you just fill out papers, don't you, Scott, rather than be able to work.
And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies.
God tells us in Leviticus 26 that if you'll obey me, I will make your military strong and I will always give them the victory. Until 9/11, the United States of America never lost a war. But look what's happened. In other words, we have sold ourselves to the company store. We have allowed the heathen to come in and to spoil us. We have worshipped the male phallic symbol of socialism and those who represent that. And Leviticus 26 says, then if you don't obey me, your military will be so weak, it will be like a leaf rustling in the wind. And do you realize that we've been fighting ISIS for 8 years and we've still not won?
Whithersoever they went out.
Well, ISIS or what other name, Al-Qaeda, whatever.
The hand of the Lord was against them for evil.
Now, Romans 8 says, if God's for you, who can be against you? But I can tell you, if God's against you because you've disobeyed, there's nobody for you.
As the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed.
Oh, they were sad now.
16, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hands of those who spoiled them.
So now in our story, God's going to start appointing judges. They won't be in succession. There'll be times in between. What does a judge do? To set things in order and to rule them. And it says in Revelation 20, verse 2, those of us who overcome the Antichrist, that male phallic symbol, coming soon before Jesus, it says we shall rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Reign means to teach. So of course each judge then would be teaching the word of God that God had given to Moses to give to them.
When they cried out to him, 17, and yet they'd not hearken unto their judges.
But you see, what they would do, they would cry to God, help us, help us, help us. God would send a God-appointed man or woman in front of them. God always hears the man or woman he's chosen because he knows he can trust you because he chose you before the foundation of the earth when Satan rebelled. And so God hears the prayer. And so the people come and say, tell God to do this for us. And so the man and woman prays and God does that. And then they say, we don't need God anymore. We won't go there anymore. And then the phone only rings when you need help again. Nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes tells us. By the way, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:11, these things happen to them. Them who? Those people in the Bible. For an ensample example for those of us who are living at the end of this age for our admonition. So see, this is us.
They went a-whoring after other gods.
A-whoring, adultery. God equates idolatry as adultery.
And bowed themselves unto them.
Worship.
They turned quickly out of the way.
How quickly a sheep will go astray. People can be sitting under this pure word of God. All of a sudden, they've gone over a cliff. I see it all the time. It's amazing how quickly distracted, hither, thither, and yon, a sheep can be when you should be rooted and grounded in the word of God and hear no other voice but the shepherd's voice coming through that God-appointed man or woman.
Their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. 18, and when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge.
Lord was with the judge. He wouldn't raise up a God-appointed judge unless he could trust you. The chosen people who are chosen, the very elect, were chosen when Satan rebelled in our spiritual bodies. You've already been tested. God's not going to put a man or woman appointed judge to set things in order and to reign and rule over people except he can trust you. So of course he would hear you. That's why, you know, when rubber meets the road, you want to find somebody that God hears.
And deliver them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge.
As long as the judge lived and he would pray for them, everything was all right. And he would teach them and he'd keep them straight. Don't go there. Don't say that. Make sure you read your Bible and prayed today and lived it.
For it repented the Lord because of their groaning by reason of them that oppressed them.
The word repented here, God pitied them. Why did he pity them? Listen, because of their groaning. What is the groaning? They cried and prayed. Romans 8:26, for we know not how to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, that we pray according to the Father's will. David says it differently in the Old Testament, the coo of a dove, the moan. So what they did, they didn't just go to God. Dear God, help us. You know that Messiah is coming through our lineage. And it's really nice of you and really great. We'd like for you to help us. They groaned. See, until you can groan in prayer, the groaning bursts the baby. It pushes it out. It must be the Holy Spirit doing it. The Holy Spirit will push and groan through you by the Holy Spirit, and the baby will be birthed. And you'll never, never, never get your prayers off the ground until you can learn to groan. You will have to die to yourself and let the Holy Spirit come out of your belly like a living water and push and burst that prayer until that prayer comes true. Now, not a lot of people pray right, do they?
Yeah.
But you heard it. Groan. Now, I don't mean you act silly and say all the words. You can. But there is a warrior's cry. There is a sigh. When Jesus wept and Lazarus, Mary, and Martha were crying, Jesus wept. The manuscripts say he snorted. He groaned. Oh!
And vexed to them. 19, it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers.
It got worse and worse. Have you noticed that each generation in our country, it gets worse and worse? I mean, children kill children and they do all these kind of things. It just gets worse and worse. Jesus said in the Gospels, when you get the strong man out of a person, you get that demon out, don't leave it empty. Seven more will come back in. It'll be worse than before. So that's what happened. Why did they have the demons coming in with them? Because of the fallen angels mixed with human beings there. The whole place of that Petra was also called the Rise of the Scorpion. Scorpion is demons. So see, any time that you are half and half obedient, half of the word and half of something else disobedient, then the demons can take that half of you.
Yep. In following other gods to serve them. to bow down unto them. They cease not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn ways.
Stubborn, I love the Bible. It says brows, foreheads of brass, stiff neck. Just refuse. I refuse to do what you said. I will not. Make me. That's it. That's rebellion. That's rebellion.
20. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel.
I should think
so.
And
he said, because of this people have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice. 21. I also henceforth will not drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. 22. But through them,
through the enemy, through the heathen and the nations,
prove Israel.
Test
whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it.
Let's just test them. Let's just see if the rubber meets the road. Let's see if they're going to come back to me, says God.
Or not. 23. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Chapter 3, verse 1.
Here come the judge.
These are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel.
To test.
By them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the years of Canaan. Verse 2. Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war.
He says you should teach your children to war. You see, we war not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities of the air, with demonic forces, with the order of lieutenants of the devil's dark kingdom. So when we see people who are bound in that, and when things come to you, in other words, it's demonic, teach your children to fight. And because we're in a battle, you can say, I'm not going to fight this battle, I'm going to watch this show. Then you're already defeated, because Genesis 3:15, he said, I will put enmity between the serpent seed and the woman seed. The serpent is the devil. We've got two classifications of people. We've got God's people on earth, and we got the devil's seed here. And there's a war going on. You can sit and watch the show all you want to, refuse to participate. You are already defeated. So how do you teach your children to fight? Just like Jesus did in Matthew 4:4. It is written, in Jesus' name, on the basis of the victory of Jesus' blood, and then say the word of God, but cry it, groan it out with fervor and power of the Holy Spirit. Not what somebody else says, not what a book says, not what this person says, not what the internet with all those prophets on there say. It is written, in Jesus' name, by the blood of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, say the word of God. Oh, teach your children the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the only thing's going to last forever. And if you're in it, you'll live forever. The word of God endureth forever. That's your sword.
At least as such as before knew nothing thereof.
Huh.
3, namely 5 lords of the Philistines.
He's going to name some of these, so we let him name them.
And all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from the Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath.
The first word there means the Lord of Nations, and Hamath is mentioned in the book of Jeremiah. It's another way of saying the Kenites. Remember, the Kenites are descendants of Cain. That's with a K, and Cain is the child of the devil. So they were there too.
4, and they rule the nation.
These heathen rule the nation. Kenite. Ah, who ever heard of such a thing?
Prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which they commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. 5, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. Verse 6, and they took their daughters to be their wives, gave their sons to their daughters, and served their gods.
Now see, that's what God said. Don't let your daughters marry their sons. Don't let your sons marry their daughters. You are never to be unequally yoked. Do not mix the seed. I can tell you, you think you're getting away from it because we're so modern and tolerant in America. It's not that you don't love those people, each after its own kind. You are asking for disaster. And so then what happens? What happens to a nice Christian girl? She goes to church. She's going to give her life to God. And in comes a guy pretending to be a Christian. But I've got another religion. You don't need to go there. So she goes to him. She forsakes eternal life to go with that guy. Many times a person will convert to another religion. We see it all the time. That is an abomination. And that nothing good can come from that unless they all repent.
7. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God.
There's nothing worse that you can do to a person who loves you than forget they even exist. Ouch.
And serve Balaam and the groves.
The groves, that would be Ishtar, the goddess of fertility, from which our word Easter comes. I taught you that at Passover. They would go into the woods in the grass and have their sexual orgies to honor Ishtar. And one after the other lay their eggs quick like a bunny. My Lord, some Christian church is still doing that. Folks, it's Passover. The one who died, shed his blood, and arose from the dead is Christ, our Passover, who was sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 5:7. It's Passover.
Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of Cush and Rishathan.
Now, this is between the Tigris and Euphrates River, and this is Iraq.
In the Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cush and Rishathan 8 years.
Now, for 8 years, we have had a Kenite governing the United States of America. The church does not know this, but I knew this. I saw the snake coming out of his mouth when he started to run. And while we had conquered Iraq, this same Cush and Rishathan, he withdrew the troops, and so a worse came in. Remember he said worse will come in? ISIS came in and took over Iraq, and we for the past 8 years have been serving Iraq, trying to cajole ISIS, making treaties with Iran who supports ISIS. Don't kill us. Don't kill us, snake. We know you're a snake, but don't bite us. Donald Trump's poem there. And so therefore we've been serving them. However, that's 8 years.
9. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer unto the children of Israel.
Here comes the first judge, thank goodness.
Yeah. Who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother.
Kenaz was Caleb's younger brother. Remember, Caleb and Joshua led them in the promised land there. Remember, Othniel married Oxner, who lighted off her donkey last week. Okay, he is the first judge. Now, not much is said of him, but God chose to say the next verse about him, because except you have what he has, you will never be a God-appointed judge. You will never be able to set anything in order, even in the bathroom of your church. In other words, that you've got to have this. Listen, God puts it first.
10. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him.
The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes upon, up and in a person appointed by God. And it is Christ painting himself on you. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then supernatural things begin to happen. Then he gives you the tongue of the learned. Wisdom comes and courage comes and strength comes and prophecy comes. And then gifts of Holy Spirit begin to come. 1 Corinthians 12, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of prophecy, the gift of discerning of spirits, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues. But without the Spirit of God, you don't know how to pray. You can't groan without the Spirit. You can't sing and do any good without the Spirit. You can't play the piano without the Spirit. I mean, you can do it, but it'd be in the natural. And you can never teach God's word, and you can never be used in any capacity in God's kingdom without the anointing, the Spirit of God upon you. How do you get it? Amen. Totally die to yourself. Amen. Totally die to yourself. Get off the throne, empty your mind, cry, 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 and release the sin, the demonic pressures inside of you, and let God come in and take over your life. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I die daily, says Paul. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So this is the first characteristic.
And he judged Israel and went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cush and Rishathan into his hand.
He delivered a rack into his hand. Well, we've just been given a warrior. We prayed for 8 years every Sunday and Wednesday night here, and me every day in between, anybody I could grab. And we groaned and we shouted and we cried and we moaned. And God has lifted up as a deliverer President Donald J. Trump. He probably doesn't know it himself, but Scotland, he is Scottish. Scotland is Hebrew. Jeremiah brought Scooter, after which Scotland is named, to catch up with the 10 tribes. And Donald Trump, they're Hebrew. And so God has given us a deliverer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So now we're going to defeat ISIS. Yes, we are. God gives us the victory in Jesus' name. Now, not too much is written about Othniel. We've got some very colorful judges coming up. You're going to love them, and you're going to be them, and they're exciting and they're adventuresome. So we'll pick it right back up there next time. But right now, it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. And I would like to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, a man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. Great word tonight.
Thank you. It's God's power.
Yeah, it is God's power, definitely.
I couldn't do that by myself.
And our first question is so in line with that. Somebody wants to know, it seems like no matter what President Trump does or how much he accomplishes, everyone still attacks him, and they want to know, why is that?
Because it's prophetic. Hebrews chapter 12, God says, at the end time, I'm going to shake heaven and earth, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken, but that which cannot be shaken will be removed. The government of the United States, this country was founded and dedicated to Jesus. This country is in the Bible. They don't call it America. This is that extra promised land. And so the government has become so corrupt. God lifted us up, someone to set things right in Donald Trump, and he's like a wrecking ball. He's uncovering and exposing all their evil, and every time he exposes one of them, they say, ouch, get out of here. You let people know what an evil person I am. And so, of course, they are after him. But we pray for him, and we just bless God for giving us such a present as Donald J. Trump. He's the judge now. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
I've heard it said, you know, he didn't cause the hate, but he exposed it.
Yeah, he exposed it.
Yeah.
It's not Donald Trump they're hating. They realize that the light's on them and their evil deeds are exposed.
Okay, our next question. Somebody wants to know, when Jesus told John that Mary was now his mother while he was on the cross, they want to know if there was any more information about John and Mary as they went forth.
One more time in the Bible, we hear of Mary in the upper room as at the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit fell, but history documents, and I have the book, there's a book, the Drama of the Lost Disciple, and it is Mary, the mother of Jesus. She went to England with her rich uncle Joseph of Arimathea, who was rich in tin mines. Often before he would go to England, Glastonbury there, and there's proof there, to mine tins. But this time, they went not to get tin mines, but to preach the gospel, to catch up with those 10 tribes, the house of Israel, that had migrated into Scotland, Ireland, and England. And she began to preach the gospel of Jesus, and she built churches. I have the pictures of them. They're round, and I think they're called wassail. I believe that's the right word. I'll have to check in my book, wassail houses. So she was preaching the gospel of her own son, Jesus Christ. There, that was Mary. There's proof. There's documented. So it's not a fairy tale. It's true.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It is time now for Scott's stuff.
Okay. The Lord took me back into my journal into 2015. And he gave us a word, and it aligns specifically with tonight. According to the covenant with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear not. I am bringing forth my signs and wonders. I am releasing a voice of the signs, which will restore my supernatural vision and movement within my church, bringing them out of their captivity. Oh. Haggai 2:5.
Wow. Thank you, Scott. That is beautiful. That is anointed. We are just moving. God just does this. See, Scott and I didn't get together about that. It just works out. God is such, so good. Well, if you're not saved, I want to ask you to pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive my sins.
Please forgive my sins.
And use me.
And use me.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word. And help me to live with you forever.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. In a few moments, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave your number on there. Also, when you call me, leave your prayer request, or if you have a question that you want us to use on Mystery Moments, so feel free to do that. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Father, I ask in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit will move now to the north, the south, and the east and west. Wherever there is a spirit of rebellion, a stiff neck, a brass forehead, break it, shatter it in Jesus' name. And let the person be delivered of the illness of rebellion. And let there be total surrender to Jesus, total yielding to the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And therefore then, let the healing virtue of Jesus, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings, into the brain, into the thinking, into the head, the throat, the chest, the arms, the legs, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Something broke there, something shattered. Praise God. Praise. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. You might want to call and tell me that too. God bless you. Your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. You may not know this, but if you're a true Christian, you have a prayer ministry. And in your prayer ministry, giving up is not an option. Giving up on whatever you're praying for, if it's God's will, is not an option. As Winston Churchill said, never, never, never give up. And as Jesus said in Luke 18, always pray without ceasing. And so giving up in praying is never an option.
There's a new service beginning June 1st here at my school front entrance. I'm opening my door at 12 noon until 2 p.m. each Thursday for Healing Prayer Line. Come if you're sick, come if you're discouraged, come if you need prayer. We operate in the gifts of spirit. You do not need an appointment. This is not a social thing. I will not be teaching the word. Simply laying hands on the sick, and God still does the healing. We will be anointing with oil. Beginning Thursday, June 1st, my twin friend Scott Mercy is going to join me each Thursday, 12 noon to 2 p.m. for a prayer line. Bring anyone who needs prayer. God bless you. Now wait for my announcer, and remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Yeshua. And Jesus said in John 17:17, Thy Word is truth. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget the Healing Prayer Line, new program, June 1st, every Thursday, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Join the prayer line. Come, and may God bless you, and I'll lay hands on the sick and pray for you, Scott Merson and Sherry Medlock. Until next time, God bless you and keep you, and do stay and live in the truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at the same time for Trumpet of Truth.
has changed. You stay the same.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big, we'll be right back.
preacher sitting on a mountain. See him walking along the shore. Friends and disciples gathering around him say, never spake a man like this before. But wise a man as wise as he. We've been